top of Chof Hei Amid Aleph. Amar Rav Huna, Shachach v'nichnas v'tfilin l'beis hakiseh. He forgot and he went with tfilin on into a beis hakiseh. And he meant there to defecate. Asiyas tzoch v'gedolim. It's not exactly clear how he could forget that he's wearing tfilin. But in any event, Meniach yado aleim ad sheyigmar. He should put his hands over the tefillin shabarash, meaning he should cover his tefillin shabarash out of respect and finish what he's doing there. So the Gemara says, Ad sheigmar sakadaitach, is it possible that we're going to allow him to defecate with his tefillin on? That would certainly be a bizayin to tefillin. Ella, we have to reinterpret Rav Huna, ki da amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. It means he's allowed to leave his tefillin on and cover him with his hand, ad shi yigmar, amud harishon shel gedolim. In other words, if one pillar, one piece of feces is coming out of his body, we're going to allow this special heter. And then he finishes that part of his process, of his bowel movement, and he goes out and he takes off his tefillin. And the reason for this is the Gemara is going to explain it's dangerous for him to stop at that point in the middle of the actual removal of his feces. And after he takes off his tefillin, he has to, of course, complete what he started. So the Gemara asks, v'lifsog li'alta v'leikum. So why is it that we don't ask him to stop in the middle and leave and take off his tefillin? And the Gemara answers, Mishum Rabbi Gamliel. Tisanya Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer Amud HaChozer. If a person is in the middle of one of the Amudim of his Tzoetz coming out of his body, and he stops immaturity, prematurely, then what happens is, if the feces goes back into his body a second time after it's already gone out once, maybe a Sa'odim Lidei HaDrokon, he will be ill from some sort of a disease that faces, that attacks his large intestine probably. He'll end up with blown up intestines and silon achoze. But in the case of meraglim, it's not quite as dangerous, but it is pretty dangerous. If let's say he holds back from urinating, and the urine has already begun, Rashi explains, to leave his body, then maybe it's a Adam Lidei Yerokon. Not Hadrokon, but Yerokon. It's also some sort of a disease. Perhaps it doesn't cause some sort of swelling, but nevertheless, it's going to be Yerokon Miloshon Yerok. It's something that makes his face turn green. Tosus, not here but elsewhere, presents a thesis that Hadrokon and Yerokon are really one in the same parts of the same disease. Itmar, we learned the following din. Tzoa al Bisaro, we're talking about that Tzoa is covered, because again, if it's exposed, then even if it's not on his basar, it's not so profound, but it's on the karka, he has to be marchik for amos, as we'll soon see. So we're talking about a case of tzoa mechusa al basaro, it's covered over his body. Is then Rav Huna Amar mutar likros kriyat shema. We have another case here, yado munachas v'beis hakiseh. There is some sort of a mechitza between him and the Beis HaKiseh, some separation, but he puts his hand through it, and now his hand is extended into the avir, into the air of the Beis HaKiseh. Now, let's mention the following, that Rav Huna is of one opinion, mutar likros kriyat shema, and we'll try to understand why. And Rav Chisda Amar also lo likros kriyat shema. And we Gemara is going to try to understand why. So Amar Rava, my time with Rav Huna, why is he matir in this case? The chsiv kol haneshama tekal ka, which means that all the Evarim including the mouth and the nose, they are all part of Hilul Hashem. They're all part of praising God. And therefore you have to have absolute nekius in those parts of the body that are used to express and enunciate our praise to God. But the other Evarim are not included in Hillel, in Hilul, and therefore they don't need to be absolutely clean. So if his Yad or the rest of his body is mitunaf, for example, as we said, he has so on his body, or the Yad is extended into a Beis HaKise, is mutar likros. For Rav Chisda amar also likros kriyat shema, my time the Rav Chisda mishum dechsiv, kol atzmosai tomarno Hashem mikamocha, and all the parts of the body are included in Hilul Hashem, and they all have to be minikius. And therefore, if there's filth on any part of his body, or his arm is extended to Beis HaKise, he's not allowed to read Kriyat Shema. And here we have Machlok Saposkim. Do we paskin like Rav Huna or like Rav Chisda? And for example, the Sefer HaEshkol paskins Lekula, but only B'dieved. And the Magen Avraham paskins that if he has Soa anywhere of his house, anywhere in his house, and his head is inside the house, then we go after Rav Gufo. So even if, let's say, his head would be stuck outside of the house through a window, but his body is in the house, then it's considered that he's reciting Kriyat Shema in a place that has Soa. And the Chazon Ish explains that the Magen Avraham would accept normally the sheet of Rav Huna, and even though Rav Huna allows you, if your Yad is in your Beis HaKise, but that's one Eva, but if Rav Gufo is together with the Tzoa, it's Mulat Tzoa, then it's also. Now let's mention the fact that the Rosh, the Rif, and the Rambam have a Girsa O Yadav Mitunafos Mi Beis HaKise. Instead of Yad, they have Yodos, Yodov. And the Rosh raises the following issue after quoting others, the Rif and the Rambam. He says, if Mitunafos Yodov Bitsoa, what is the indication here of the Rif and the Rambam that Girsa is Yodov Mitunafos? If they have Tsoa, then for sure it's Asur. We were only talking about a case of Mechusa. And the Rashba reinterprets the Girsa of the Rif and the Rambam. It doesn't mean that he has on Yadov Tsoa Mamish, but rather his Tsoa, he got his hands dirty with Tsoa, and he enters into the Beis HaKise, but at this point he removes the Tsoa before he enters into the Beis HaKise, and what's left is Lichluch B'Alma. Okay, we have to understand exactly what would be Lichluch B'Alma, some Shirayim, some vestige of the Tsoa that's on his hands, but not Tsoa Mamish, Mamoshes of Tsoa. And this entire Sugya here, and the Machlokas between Rav Huna and Rav Chisda revolves around a case where there is no Reach Ra. If there's Reach Ra, we're going to learn later on, there's bad smell, then you're not allowed to read Kriyat Shema or any Dover Shabbat Kedusha. Now the Pasuk that Rav Huna quotes is the Neshama. And these are Evarim Shaneshama Yotzeis Bahem. It means he expresses Neshama through the mouth, through the Koach HaDibur. Or, for example, the Rosh writes, it's mitzad the reach. Shelo yariach darkom reach tsoa. The nose is where the reach tsoa goes into, and you smell the smell. But on the other hand, if there's no Eivor, shaneshama yotzeis bahem, if he's not an Eivor where he smells it, then Rav Huna says you're allowed. And as we said earlier, there's machlokas how we paskin. Now we go on to another machlokas shin Rav Huna Rav Chisda. This is about reach ra at the time of Kriyat Shema. Itmar reach ra sheyesh lo ikar Rav Huna ala marchik arba amos v'kori Kriyat Shema. Rav Chisda ala marchik arba amos mimokom sheposak reach v'kori Kriyat Shema. So we're talking about a case of Reach Ra, and we're talking about Amiras Dvarim Shebekdusha B'makom Reach Ra. And even though he himself might not be smelling the odor, he might have his nose stuffed or whatever it might be, he closes his nose, but nevertheless another person would smell it. And we're talking about a tsoa situation, and the Chayodim says not just tsoa, but any reach which causes people discomfiture. It's a very severe reach, and sometimes you have something that's very badly spoiled. That's called reach ra as well, unless it's a natural smell. So he's got this reach that's coming from tsoa, and it's behind him. He doesn't see the tsoa, because we'll see later on that if he sees the tsoa mul panav, in front of his face, then he has to be marchik what's called kimalei enav, which is a much longer distance here. Rav Huna only requires dalet amos. Now, from what point do we calculate the dalet amos? That's going to be the machlokas here between Rav Huna and Rav Chisda. According to Rav Huna, we calculate from the source of the smell. Let's say from the tzo itself, we calculate 4 amos. Whereas Rav Chisda says that wherever he has to go to Pasak Reach, where there's no longer a smell, then from there he counts another 4 amos. And he has to be marking another 4 amos from the place where Nigmar Reach, and only then he could recite Kriyat Shema. Now, if Tsoa itself is within 4 amos, then everybody, even Rav Huna, says it's also for Dvarim Shem Kedusha, and that's based on the pasuk V'hoya Machanecha Kadosh, which means that a person sets up a machne in a radius of 4 feet around him. We had this in Bab Metzia and Daf Yud with regard to Kinyan Dalet Amos, and his machne, which means that circumference around him, 4 amos, has to be b'kedusha u'b'nikiyus, and he can't have tzoa within 4 amos. Now Rashi, Dira Maskel Marchik, in interpreting Rav Huna, says that the reach is coming to him, it's magia elov, and it's enough to be marchik 4 amos. And that's how the Rambam paskins in Perek Gimel Milchus Kriyat Shema with regard to Reach Ra Sheyesh Lo Ikar Marchik 4 amos V'kore Im Posak HaReach. And the Rambam seems to imply that 4 amos of Archok is not enough unless you have another condition of Pasak HaReach. And the Rambam writes, Imlo Pasak HaReach, Marchik Ad Mokum Shepasak HaReach. That sounds awfully similar to Rav Chisda against Rav Huna. It certainly doesn't sound like Rashi's interpretation of Rav Huna. But yet, paradoxically, the Kesef Mishnah writes that the Rambam passes like Rav Huna. And many of the commentaries assume that the Rambam passes like Rav Huna, which means that according to Rav Huna, it's not enough to be Marchik Dalet Amos from the Tzoa. But in addition to that, he has to make sure that he doesn't smell the smell. So that if he's Marchik 4 amos, but he still has the smell, then he's going to have to be Marchik further. Ad sheyichla reach. So what is the machlokas therefore between Rav Huna and Rav Chisda? Do you have to be Marchik 4 amos from the place where the where kola reach? That's going to be the Rambam Shita. Tanya Kavasi, the Rav Chisda. The Gemara supports Rav Chisda with a brisa lo yikra adam kriyat shma lo keneged tzoas adam velo keneged tzoas klovim velo keneged tzoas chazirim velo keneged tzoas tarnagolim v'lo keneged tzoas ashpa shereicha ra. V'im haya makom gavah asar tvachim o namach asar tvachim yoshev b'tzido v'korei kriyat shma v'im lav marchik mole enov v'chein l'tfila. And then the Braisa says, and this is the punchline for us, Reach Rosh Eshvlo Ikar is Marchik Arba Amos Mi Mokom Reach, meaning from the place that the Reach is Kola, the Kori Kriyat Shema. That supports Rav Chisda, and that would be supported by those poskim who accept Rav Chisda Lalocha. However, Rava is going to disagree, and he's going to say less hilchasok yomas nisa, and he's going to quote another braisa, which would seem to go in the other direction. But first, let's take a look at this braisa. The braisa enumerates a long list of isa kriyat shma keneged tsoa, and on that list, the human feces and dog feces and swine and tarnagolin, which are chickens or hens. Well, we'll see later on a discussion about tzoas tarnagolin. So in other words, even though it's ein magia mehem reach, even if he's far away, so the reach doesn't reach him, but nevertheless, this is an Iser, again, only because, not of Reach, but because of Asulikros Keneged Davratinov. Now, as a separate section, the Brisa includes Tsoas Ashpa, which means a place where normally you would put, let's say, the excrement from the Beis HaKisa when you clean it out, and an ashpa is generally speaking recha ra, and even if there's no mamoshes im ein shom mamish recha, it's not a real bad odor, and even if there's no Beis HaKisa next to it, it's still asur. That's the chiddush here of ashpa sherecha ra. And then there are situations in which the tsoa is separated from the rishus where you're in. It's in a very high place, which is asar tfachim. It has to be asar tfachim high and dalet tfachim wide. Or, for example, it's in a separate place that's namuch mi asar tfachim. If that's where the tsoa is, then the brais allows you, even without being marchik al ba'amis, to read kriyat shma, because now the tsoa is in a different rishus, a rishus unto itself, and the requirement of rochav dalet al dalet is based on the Gemara and Shabbos as far as makom hanocha for meleches hotsoa. Now the Rosh interprets that if the tsoa is a makom gavoa, makom namuch, then it's called a makom amiyuchad liatzmo. And therefore, the violation of the pasuk of Vahoya Machnech Kadosh is inapplicable, because he's not with the tzoa in one makom, insofar as the tzoa is in a different makom. The Rush continues, and he says that even if he could see the tzoa in its own makom from the makom that he's in, since it's Rishus Acheres, he's allowed to read Kriyat Shema. The Rashba says that in addition to the problem of Ayyub Machanech Kadosh, if he sees the Tzoa, then that's also an Iser of Kriya Kenegda. That's based on a different pasuk, as we'll see as we go along. In all these cases, the Hefzik Rishus is not going to be meaningful if the Reach Ra is Magia Elof, if he can smell the smell. Now, when the Braisa says v'im lav, if the tzoa is not in a makom gavoa, makom namuch, then marchik melo einov, he's got to move himself so far away from the tzoa that whether it's lefanov or achorov, well, it's tadav, he cannot possibly see the tzoa. And this halach applies not only to kriyat shema, but to tefillah as well, that you're not allowed to be mispal keneged tzoa, keneged ashpa shereicha ra. And if you have a reach rashi yesh lo ikar, here the Brice, as we saw earlier, supports the shita of Rav Chisden and requires that you be marchik for amos mimakom shekola reach, and only then can you recite kriyat shema. Omar Rava, as we saw earlier, less hilchasaki ha maslisa, we don't pass like this Brisa that prohibits reading kriyat shema keneged soas klovim or chazirim. Eloki ha desanya lo yikra adam kriyat shema lo keneged soas adam lo keneged soas chazirim lo keneged soas klovim bisman shen nasan oros letochan. That the only time that you prohibit kriyat shema keneged tzoas chazirim keneged tzoas klovim is only if they have a really bad odor, and that's where the tanners used to use these feces of those animals for ibud oros, to tan the hides, and they would put the hides inside in a mixture with this tzoa, and then the smell is very, very extreme, and then you're not allowed to read kriyat shema. But if there's no oros inside, you're allowed to read kriyat shema kenegdom, and that's against the first brisa that we learned earlier. Now let's mention that Rav is not rejecting the first brisa. He's only rejecting the first brisa with regard to tzoas klovim and chalovim and chazirim. There's no Easter unless Yesh betochan oros. As far as the balance of the brisa, Rava didn't speak about them at all. So you'd have to be marchik arba amos mimakom shekola reach. You're certainly not allowed to read kriyat shema keneged tzoas adam and tarnagolim and an ashpa shereicha ra. However, there are rishonim amongst them, Rabbeinu Yonah and perhaps Tosfos Divrei Maschil less, who claim that Rava rejects the brisa even as far as tzoas tarnagolim. And that's an interesting question, because tzoas tarnagolim is not mentioned in the second brisa. So lechora, you would say that the second brisa does not disagree with the first brisa as far as tzoas klovim is concerned. But the Rishonim quote opinion of Rabbeinu Yehuda that tzoa in a chicken coop has a very strong odor, and also likros kenegda. And the tarnagolim, when they walk around and they create filth, that's not a very strong, bad, foul odor of tzoa, and therefore you're allowed to read kriyat shema. However, again, there are many different opinions as to l'aloch l'maisa, who do we paskin like here in the machlokes between Rav Huna and Rav Chisda. And again, the brisa, if you don't assume Rava rejects this brisa, the brisa that we mentioned is an explicit raya to support Rav Chisda l'chumra. Let's add two important points. First of all these dinim address not only kriyat shema but also tefillah, divrei Torah, and kol dovar sheva kedusha. You're not allowed to mention them in a makom hametunaf. Anywhere where you're reading kriyat shema, you're mispalel, it's out if it's a makom hametunaf. The Mishnah Berurah quotes one opinion that even to speak lashon kodesh is a problem. Or in the flip side, to speak about divrei kedusha in lashon chol is a problem. Even hirur b'divrei Torah is a problem in makom metunaf. And all this is codified in the Shulchan Aruch Siman Pei Hei. Now the second point we want to make is that in those cases that the Brisa mentions where the tzoa is in a makom b'fnei atzmo, it's rishus miyuchedes asar tfachim, the Rashba points out that if you read the Brisa carefully, it says marchik melo enov, which means that makom gavah or makom namuch is a scenario, is a mitzias where you cannot see it, and that's why it's mutal likros. So you need that second condition, as we mentioned earlier, that you cannot see the tzoa.
Kevin Shagam Eino Nimtzas Bielso Mokom Vagam Eino Rov. You have both Eino Nimtza Bielso Mokom. It's always in a different place. Number two, you don't see it. It's high and he doesn't see it. Is therefore, there's no problem of reading Kriyat Shema. But when the Bryce says in Lav, it means if he can see the Tzoa, then it's Asur. Or, and it, again, it doesn't mean that he actually sees the Tzoa, but if he could see the Tzoa, for example, let's say it's Lila, and therefore he doesn't see the Tzoa, it doesn't matter. Since he's in a Mokom, he's in a location where he could see the Tzoa, Mitzad Arichuk, as far as the distance is concerned, then it's not enough to be Marchik Dalet Amos, but we would require, according to this Braisa, Laharchik Mole Einov. And as far as Reicha Ra is concerned, that's an issue of Ayam Achnecha Kadosh, and that's a Dalet Amos issue in terms of that radius. But as far as Re'iyah is concerned, even if it's outside of Dalet Amos, there's a Chisaron, and here the Rashba quotes a different pasuk. In addition to Vayom Achnech Kadosh, we have the pasuk in Kitetze Lo Yira Becha Ervas Davar, and here the emphasis is on Lo Yira, on Re'iyah, so that anywhere we could see it, then it's also B'Toras V'Lo Yira Bach Ervas Davar. So you need Harchaka for Malay Einov, so you shouldn't see it. You need a harchaka from the Tzoa itself, and that's Dalet Amos. From the Reach, that's Dalet Amos, Mimokum Shepasuk HaReos, HaReach. All these are requirements. However, says the Rashba, if the Tzoa is covered completely, for example, we're going to have a case of Tzoa Bashishis, it's in a glass container, even if it's within four Amos, but since the Tzoa is completely covered, then it's mutter. Aval im eino mechusagam, it's not completely covered, and others could see it, even if he doesn't see it, then it depends on whether it's in his rishus, within Dalet Amos, or outside his rishus. So we have a number of different variables here, according to the Rashba, and different conditions and scenarios, in order to be mati or davar shebekedusha. Now we've discussed now Reach Ra B'mokom Sheyesh Ikar, correct? That we spoke about Reach Ra that's Ola Min HaTzoa, even if he can't see the Tzoa, it's behind him, but the Reach Ra he smells. Well, what about the case of Reach Ra She'ein Lo Ikar? For example, Rashi gives the example of Hafachas Ruach. Let's say somebody passes gas, so that's called a Reach Ra She'ein Bo Ikar. There's no Tzoa Megula, but the smell is there. Is Boy Minemi Rav Sheshes Reach Ra She'ein Lo Ikar Mahu? Are you allowed to recite Dovr Shebekedusha in a place that has this foul odor? Amalo Hui responds, Asu Chazu Hanu Tzipe Debe Rav. We should come and see what's called the Machtzolos. That's the place where the Talmidim used to sit in the Beis Medrash of Rav. And you'd have two or three people sitting on the same bench simultaneously, and there was no hefsek of Dalet Amos between them. Dahani Ganu, some of them would fall asleep. Dahani Garsi, while the others were learning. Maybe they took turns, or since it was through the late hours, some of them fell asleep. Now we have a principle called Derech Ayishenim Lafia, that a person during his sleep passes gas. And yet, that's how Rav set it up in his base measures, that those who are learning and were awake continue to learn. So we see that Reach Ra, She'ein Lo Ikar, Mutar Bamiras Dvar Shebekedusha. But Hani Milu, that only applies in a case of Reach Ra, She'ein Lo Ikar, it's Mutar Fedar Shebekedusha, B'divrei Torah. He's allowed to learn. And that's what they did in the base measures of Rav. And Rashi explains they didn't want to have people be mevatel the Torah and leave the Beis Medrash because of the smell of the gas. And since it's Reach She'ein Bo Ikar, it's only Mirabbanan, therefore they were mekil for the sake of Torah, and they didn't aser it in order to limit Bittul Torah. They didn't have to say that any time somebody passes gas, they would have to
leave the Beis Medrash. I will be Kriyat Shema lo. But nevertheless, as far as reciting Kriyat Shema, if there's a foul odor of hafacha, of gas, then he's got to refrain from reciting Kriyat Shema. V'diri tara nami lo amor ne'el b'chavraya. And even this kula that we had for Torah, that only applies when they're learning together. And he won't have to leave the Beis Medrash or terminate his learning because of the smell that came from his friend, Aval Didei Lo. But if he's smelling his own smell, that's Osur. And he certainly would have to refrain from Divrei Torah until after Kola Harech, until the smell has dissipated. This interpretation of the Gemara is based on Rashi. The Ra'a writes that as far as the Zman Afocha Atzma is concerned, is be Oda Mefiach Osa Lilmod, but after the Afocha is finished, after he's already passed the gas, then Afocha's Atzma is no different than Afocha's Acher, and he's allowed to recite Kriyat Shema and speak Divrei Torah. Or he's allowed to speak the Divrei Torah. Now that's the note of Yehuda as a chiddush in the Tzlach, that according to Rav Huna that we learned earlier of Marchik Arba Amos Menatzov Kore, and according to one opinion that meant, this was Rashi's opinion, that even if Recha Magia Elov, but he's already outside of four Amos, then in the case of Reach Rasha Ein Lo Ikar, where there's no din of Harchokas Arba Amos, Rav Huna would hold, he doesn't have to be Marchik at all. And what Rav Shesh is saying here is Lashitas Rav Chizda, who holds that you have to be Marchik Min HaReach, but Bereach Rasha Yesh Lo Ikar, he has to be Marchik Mi Mokom Shekola HaReach. That's in the case of an Ikar. In a Reach Ein Lo Ikar, all he has to do is be Marchik to the Makom Shekol HaReach. Up until that point, you also have to add another four Amos of Richuk. That's all according to Rashi Shita, that Rav Huna requires Richuk Dalet Amos even, and that's sufficient even if Recha Rama Giel. According to the Rambam, who says that even Rav Huna agrees that you need to be Marchik Ad Shekol HaReach, it could be that in the case of Reach She'en Lo Ikar, there would be no machlokas whatsoever, and everybody would agree that it has to be marchik until the point of kol areach and not beyond. Amar Abaye, or itmar tzoa overes, what happens if a person is standing and somebody carries past him a graf shel re'i, which is literally it means a pottery, a piece of earthenware, and they used to put tzoa in that piece, just like a urinal is used for Merag lion, and he is stationary. Is he allowed to read Kriyat Shema when the tzoa is passing through his place? And we'll see that Abaye bases his psak on a Mishnah Negoim. Is mutar likros Kriyat Shema? He doesn't have to abstain from reading Kriyat Shema, and certainly, he would not have to terminate his Kriyat Shema midway. Rav Amar also likros Kriyat Shema. He's not allowed to read Kriyat Shema. And the Rambam paskins like Rava also likros kenegdo achetavra menu arba amos, even in the case of Tzoa Overis. Amar Abai Mino Amidile, what is my source? And this halacha in Tuma. This now we learned in the Mishnah in the 13th parak of Negoim, Hatome, if there's a Mitzora, now we have to learn a little bit about the laws of Mitzora. Mitzora is Avos HaTuma, and it has a certain Chumrah that singles out Mitzora. It doesn't apply in other Tumas, and that is Tuma Bibia. In other words, if somebody goes into a house and he is a Mitzora, he's Mitame everything inside the house, that means even Adam v'Kelim, even if he didn't touch them. And that Chumra makes Mitzora similar to Tumas Mes on the highest level. And We derive this from the pasuk in the parish of Mitzor. It says, "Bodod yeshev michutz l'machne moshavo," which means "Mahu tamei af moshavo tamei," which means the makom moshav haMitzora is tamei. And the word moshavo is not a description of the Mitzora, but rather the makom haYeshiva. And there's something called the makom moshav, which is a makom where the Mitzora sits down, even if he's chutz l'machne. It doesn't matter. He's metame through his moshav, which is called makom moshavo. However, getting back to the Mishnah, so the first case was where the Metzora himself is setting up a makom moshav. That's called hatame ome tachas ilon v'atar over. And now a tar goes by him under the Elon, and now the tar is together with the Mitzora under the Elon, and that's the Chumra Yisera of this Avatuma called Mitzora, that he's Metame B'Mokomo Shavo. And that's only if he's Omeid B'Mokomo. The Mitzora has a permanent place when he's standing, and that makes it into Moshavo, and he's Metame the tar betumas oel, just like a mess, even though the tar is mahalech, he's just passing through. Now we have the flip case in the Mishnah. Tar ome tachas ilon vatame over. In this case, there's no makom moshavo. The tame is on the move. The mitzora is moving past the tahar. They're both under the same ilan, but there's no makom moshavo. If there's no makom moshavo tahar, the mitzora is not mitire just because he's walking past the oel. It's only when the mitzora is omeid, his amida is kovas makom moshavo. However, in amad, if the mitzora is on his way, he's walking past under the ilan of the tahar, and then he stands under the Elon, Tame, then he sets up his place under the Elon as Mokom Moshavo. And the Mishnah concludes with V'chein B'Evan HaMenugas. So if somebody is holding on to an Evan that was Nitmes, what's called Tzaras HaEvan, or Tzaras HaBatim, Negabatim, it has the same din as Mitzora, which means that if there's Amida under the Elon and somebody tar goes by, that person becomes Tame because the Evan is Omedes Bimkomo, it's Kovea a Mokomo Shavo. If a tar is standing under the Elon and somebody goes by under the Elon carrying this Evan Menugas, then the tar, since he's standing, and the Tuma, which means the Evan Menugas is on the move, then he remains tar. Unless the person who carries the Evan stands in one place under the Elon, in the absence of that, then the tar remains tar. But if the person carrying the Evan Menugas stands under the Elon, then it's considered Makom Moshavo and the tar becomes Tame. But in any event, this Mishnah clearly, from Abai's perspective, is a proof that just like in Tzaras, there's no Tumah unless the Mitzora is Omeid Bimkomo, so too Tzoah is not Mitame. The Tzoah sort of like is a substitute here for the source of Tumah, which is the Mitzora or the Evan Menugas. If the Tzoah is on the move, then there's no problem reading Kriyat Shema. And the underlying equation here of Abaye is that Tumah on the move is not Mitame. The Gemara in Kiddushin has a similar question about a person who's riding an animal. Does he have the status of a Mahalech or is he an Omeid? He, relative to the animal, is stationary. But on the other hand, he together with the animal is on the move. So is the Yoshev al Gabi Behema and the Behema is on the move, is he considered to be a Yoshev or is he considered to be a Mahalech? Do we say that as long as the behemah is on the move, then he himself is also considered a mahalich? And Abai there in Kiddushin, Adaf Lamed Gimel, is poshet. He comes to the conclusion that from this Mishnah Negoyim, that if the Evan is being carried by a person, as long as the person is mahalich, then we consider the Evan as mahaleches, even though the Evan itself is really stationary. And therefore, it's only if the Adam HaNoseas HaEven is Omed, then we say that the Evan has its Makom Moshav. We don't say that the Evan, by definition, is always Omedes B'mkomo. It depends on the person who carries it. So that was Abai's logic. And he concluded, based on that analogy, that if a person is sitting on a behemoth and the animal is on the move, then he himself is considered a mahalich. That's called rachuv kimahalich. And now Rava rejects the proof of Abaye, as we can anticipate. Hasam over there, with regard to Mitzora, that he's not metami b'derech ilucho, that's called v'kvi usa talya milsa. What determines whether or not there will be tumah? It's called kvius, to get a kvius, which is called makom moshavo. Tichsiv, as the pasuk says in Parshas Mitzora, bodod yeshev michutz amachne moshavo. So the Torah is coming to teach us that the Mitzora is metami, but makom moshavo. So everything depends upon kvius makom. However, hacha, in the case of tsoa, with regard to dvarim shebekedusha, we have a pasuk that says v'hoya machnecha kadosh, and the Torah is using the term machanecha, is amar achmona v'aleka. The makom has to be naki from any tinuf when he says amiras darish of kedusha, and there's no darish of kedusha to be spoken in unless it's a makom kadosh, and when there's tsoa lefanov, even if the tsoa is on the move, which we call tsoa overis, which means that somebody is carrying the tsoa through that makom, at that moment that he carries the tsoa through the makom, it's not machanecha kadosh. And that doesn't matter whether the tsoa is standing in a certain place or it's on the move. Omar Rav Papa, Rav Papa has another din, but it's very similar to the case of Tsoa Overis. Pichazir, what's the status of the mouth of a swine? Kitsoa Overis Dummy. In other words, whenever the swine passes by, then it has a din of Tsoa Overis, which means im avar kenegdo chazir, a chazir goes past him, he's not allowed to recite Kriyat Shema. And the reason for that is because, as the Meiri points out, based on a Yerushalmi, a chazir has the din of a beis hakisei hametaltel. In other words, the mouth of the swine is always in refuse and it's always full of tsoa. And the kasha of the poskim is, why did they tell us that pi chazir is kitsoa veris? Why didn't they just say that pi chazir is like tsoa? And from this we can prove that the din of Tsoa Overis is slightly different than the din of Tsoa Omedes. Now, what exactly is going to be the difference between the two? In the case of a Chazir, we always view it as Misnoea. It's not an Omed B'Makom Kavua. Its din is always the same as Tsoa Overis. And that would be a kula if you hold like Abaye. But Rav Papa seems to be reflecting the shita of Rava. And therefore he says that pi chazir is always also likros kriyat shma kenegda. And that's why the poskim accept the halacha kirava, despite Abaye's proof from Masechta Negoyim, and also likros keneged tsoa overis, based on this statement of Rav Papa, that pi chazir is also likros kriyat shma kenegda, because it has the status of tsoa overis. Now the Gemara asks pshita, we know that the mouth of a chazir is always metun of pitzoa, and for sure, if the swine passes by, then it's called the tzoa veris. What was Rav Papa trying to emphasize? Gemara says, lo tzricha, when did Rav Papa add this new chiddush that any case of chazir, of pi chazir, is kitzoa veris? And the Gemara says, afagav, this solik minara, even in a case where the pig went into a body of water, the washing process in the body of water is not going to help him at all. Because darko shel chazir lelachlech piv kol hayom. So there's always going to be some leftover, some vestige of tinuf, and therefore the pi chazir is always considered like a graf shel re'i. Shall read. Now the Gemara deals with Kriyat Shema in a place where there's a suffix. He doesn't know for sure if there's Tsoa there or if there's not Tsoa there. So too, if he doesn't know if there's Meraglayim there, there's urine there or not. Omer of Yehuda suffix Tsoa Asura, suffix Meraglayim Mutarim. If he's not sure if there's Tsoa in the Mokum, he's not allowed to read Kriyat Shema, and we apply the principle of suffix Lechumra. And the Rambam codifies this in Perek Gimel Milchus Kriyat Shema HaYakorei Kriyat Shema Bebayis V'nestapik Lom Yesham Tsoa O Meirag Layim O Ein Sham. And it means that the suffix is whether there's Tsoa in that place where he wants to recite Kriyat Shema. And the Rambam differentiates between suffix Tsoa and suffix Meirag Layim. The Magen Avraham in Shulchan Aruch Paskins that even if he has a suffix on the Tsoa, whether or not it's Tzoas Adam, which is Asura, Tzoas Kelev, which is not Asura, except for the case of Nasabo Oros, that's also included in the suffix Lechumra. He doesn't know the origin of the Tzoa. However, in the case of suffix Meraglayim, there it's Mutter, and we'll have to understand why we are allowed to apply the principle of suffix Lekula with regard to Meraglayim. We'll hold off on that. Is Ika Diabre, according to one Lishna, Om Rabbi Yudas Safik Tsoa Babayis Muteres Ba'ashpa Sura V'Safik Meiraglayim Afilu Ba'ashpa Nami Mutarim. The second Lashon of the Gemara in Rabbi Yehuda is much more makel than the first. And the only time that Safik Tsoa is Asura, as far as Kriyat Shema and Tefillah is concerned, is only in a case of Safik Tsoa Ba'ashpa. Because Derech Ashpa Shenim Tseis Ba'atsoa. So there's like a chazokah on this place for rubbish, that where they use it as a place for defecating, that's called the Ashpa. The chazok is that it has tsoa there, therefore, even if you're not sure about it, it's also likro, so it's palosham. But Rabbi Yehuda would agree that if there's suffix tsoa b'bayis, and the bayis is in general a place where there's no tsoa, ain't derech la'ashur tsoa b'bayis, therefore in the suffix, we could say ukmiach es kasa, and therefore allowed to be matir. But in the case of Meiraglayim, we can go even a step further. And even if it's an ashpa, it is still nevertheless mutter in the case of suffik. And the Mishnah Berurah says that he was bodek, and he didn't find soa. There was no reach ra, and therefore he can be makil, number one, in suffik Meiraglayim, number two, in suffik tsoa b'bayis. So the Mishnah Berurah is adding a chovas bedika. He has to look around, and he has to make sure that his assumption is that there is no tsoa there is correct. Now, according to one sheet in the Rambam, Rabbeinu Menachem interpreting the Rambam, when we speak about an ashpa here, we're talking about ein recha ra, because if it's recha ra, then even if there's no tsoa there will be also because of the reach. Now the Gemara tries to clarify the logic of Rabbi Yehuda as far as Safik Meiraglayim. Savarla, Rabbi Yehuda holds ki ha de Rav Hamnuna, like the statement of Rav Hamnuna. The Yom Rav Hamnuna, lo asra Torah, when the Torah prohibited you reading Kriyat Shema, is ela keneged amud bilvad, only at the time that there's someone urinating. So there's a flow of urine. At that moment, at the moment that somebody is actually urinating, and the klachim of the urine are going out, then there's an Isur Torah to recite Kriyat Shema, etc. But after the Kiluach is done, and the Meira Glaim is now on the Karka, then there's no Isur, as far as the Torah is concerned, to read Kriyat Shema there. Ukid Rabbi Yonasan, and this reflects an earlier Shita of the Tanna Rabbi Yonasan. Rami, he had a contradiction, Ksiv, with regard to being Marchik from a place where a human being does his bowel movement, and this is in the Parsha Milchama in Kiteitze. It says, "V'yad tia lecha michutz lamachne, v'yatsa shama lechutz." That he, when he has to go to make a movement, he has to go outside, marchik himself from the machne, and that's true for any davish of a kedusha. And the Ramban says that we read the pasuk in the following way. The Torah is warning us that when a person does his asiyas tzrachav, he should go out of the machna, because the machna was the machna of the anana shechina. And it says in the next pasuk, ki Hashem elokechem es halich bekerav machanecha, that the machna kulo, the entire machna, is kimiglash Hashem. And that's not a good place for asiyas tzrachav. That's not appropriate. So now we learn that tefillah, which is also a Mikdash Hashem, he's only lifnei Hashchina, he has to be marchik from the Tzoa, Arba Amos, Moli Enov, and that's all the Yotza Shoma Lachutz. Now, this halacha, that for Asiyas Strachov, he has to go out of the Machna, and he has to cover his Tzoa, Ksiv, it also says in the same context, just one pasuk later, it says, V'yasei Tiyel Lecha, which means that even after he's marchik chutz lamachne to farsis trochav, he still has to dig a hole and he has to cover up the tzoa. So it's very strange, because on the one hand the Torah says that viyotza shama lechutz, so he goes out for asiyas trochim out of the machna, but now he's saying that no, he has to cover the tzeah by digging a hole. Okay, so how to reconcile this apparent contradiction? Kan bigdolim v'kan bigtanim. Now, with regard to feces in a bowel movement, in such a case, he has an additional din that he must cover the tzeah. But with regard to our chukka, where our chukka itself is enough, he goes out of the machna and he doesn't have to cover it over. That's ketanim, that's referring to urine. And that even though ketanim require yitzia chutz lemachna, because in the machna they're always speaking divrei Torah, and if he urinates inside the machna, it's going to be also to speak divrei Torah, at least bizman hakiluach, as long as somebody's urinating. With regard to tzoa, there's an additional din. He has to cover the tzoa, even though it's michutz lamachna, because sometimes they speak divrei Torah even outside the machna. But with regard to urine, which is called ketanim, he doesn't have to cover the ketanim. Alma, we see the ketanim lo asra Torah, el keneged amud hakiluach bilvad. So the iser of dvarim shebikdusha only applies during the time that he's urinating, but not as far as the urine itself. Hanafaliara, once the urine is on the ground, shari, he's allowed to read Kriyat Shema Kenegdo, and so forth and so on. Elawat, Rabbanan Udigaz, Ubey the Rabbanan said that you should not read Kriyat Shema even if the urine is on the ground, but v'chigazru v'rabbanan b'vada'on, amal v'sveikon lo gazru. They only made this gzeir in the case of vadai, but not in the case of suffix. If he doesn't know this may reglayim there, then lo gazru rabbanan. Now we're going to see some other conditions here regarding Mei Reglayim, but one thing that we have to ask is, what's the status of Reach Rav Mei Reglayim? We spoke about Reach Rav, that he has to be Marchik to Makom Shekol Bo Reach, or maybe even beyond.
So we have now two issues in Meiraglaim, actually three issues. We have one issue in Meiki Luach, while the urine is going out in a flow. Again, there's another case of Shosusin where Meiraglaim are just going out of his Godim, but they're not in a Kiluach. That's not considered a Kiluach. Now we have the case where he finished urinating and the urine is on the ground, and that's considered Mutum in HaTorah and Osum in Rabbanon. And we may have to ask the question, what if there's a serious, a volume of backlog of urine? Maybe the din would change. But in general, we could say when the urine is on the ground, it's only an Issur Rabbanon, which only applies in Vaday, and we'll see other conditions as well. And then we can discuss the question of Reach. If there's a Reach Ra from the urine, then that's a problem of Divrei Torah. Now the Gemara qualifies that as far as the rabbinic Issur of reading Kriyat Shema in a case of Vaday Meiraglaim Vada'on Ad Kama, how long does he have to wait until he can assume that the urine is gone? Amar Rabbi Yehuda Meshmul calls Manshem Matpichin. If the urine is wet enough, even though it's on the ground, that the hand of somebody who would touch the urine would get wet, that's a problem. Midrabanan again. However, after the urine is dry, such that his hand would not get wet, that, according to Rabbi Yehuda Meshmuel, would be the signal for the heter of reading Kriyat Shema, even midrabanan, even lechatchila. The chedomer Rabba bar Bachanan Rabbi Yochanan calls manchemat pichin. The chedomer Ula calls manchemat pichin. And now we have another opinion. Ugniva, that's the name of a person. Mishmei the Rav, he would quote Rav as saying calls man sherishumam nikar. In other words, if there's some vestige of Meiraglaim on the karka, even though it's dry, but he can see that there's urine there, he's not allowed to read Kriyat Shema Kenegda. Again, all that is Drabbanan. Now Rav Yosef is going to reject the words of Gneva. And he says, Om Rav Yosef, Sharolon More L'Gneva. May the Almighty forgive Gneva, because what he said is certainly not true. This is not an accurate transmission of the words of Rav. And how do I know this? Hashta, with regard to Tzoham, Rav Yudam Rav Kevin Shekhar Mupaneo Mutar is Meiraglaimi boy. So your business here, Gneva of Rishuma Nikar, must be absolutely rejected, because even in Tzoh itself, which is a Doraisa, we have Aloch of Karmu Panel. Once the Tzoh becomes dried up, and it's kind of like got a dry firmament around it, a surface layer of film, that's called Kalos Krum, then you're allowed to read Kenegda, and that's what Rav says. In the case of Meiraglaim, it goes without saying that if it's Yavshu, if the area is dry, that's enough to be matter reading Kriyat Shema. We don't need to go one step beyond that and add another condition of Rishumo Nikar. Amalei Abaye, Rabbi says to Rav Yosef, but my chosis to Samchas Aha, Smoch Aha. Why do you rely totally on this transmission of Rabbi Yudam Arav, that in Soa, she Yavshu Panev Mutar? Why don't you rely on the transmission of the following, the Omer Rabba, Baravuna Marav, Tzoa Filu Kecheres Asura. This is a whole nother transmission of the words of Rav, and that is that even if the Tzoa becomes so dry that it's like a piece of pottery, it's still Asura, and that's not the transmission of Rabbi Yehuda, the name of Rav. And if that be the case, if you would accept Rabba Baravuna's transmission of Rav, that so is always Asur, then you have no right against Gneva. So why do you slug up Gneva based on a particular transmission of the words of Rav? So the Gemara now goes into a discussion about this last transmission of Rav, of Rav Bar Avuna, in the name of Rav, of Kecheres.
what exactly is tzoa kecheres? Hechi domi tzoa kecheres, amar Rabba Baruch Hanu, amar Rabbi Yochanan, kol zman shezorka v'eina nifreches. In other words, it doesn't have the liquid, the wetness, the moisture of being misporer, of falling apart. It simply is, it breaks up once it hits the ground into smaller pieces. That's how dry it is. But if, on the other hand, it is nifreches, then it breaks apart into small pieces. There's no lachlukas, there's no moisture left, and therefore it's like offer bialman, it's mutter. But if there's still a situation of misporeres, right, it sort of has a mush to it, then it means that there's still, and it doesn't break up into little segments like offer, but it's got lachlukas, it's got this moisture in it, then it still has a shame tzoa as far as the Isur of Kriya Kenegdo. Ika de'ami, according to a different transmission of what tzoa kecheres is, called zman shegolala v'eina nefreches. He rolls it on the karka and it doesn't fall apart. It means there's still some lachluchas. And then you're not allowed to read Kriya Shema Kenegdo, even in a situation where if he would throw it and the impact upon the ground would cause it to break, that's not enough. You need a case of golala, that he rolls it and it's eina nefreches. Right? And eina nefreches means that it's still moist. But if you golala and it falls apart, even without the impact of throwing it on the ground, that's what it means. It's totally dry and it's mutter. Omar Avina Havika Ibna Kameder Rav Yehuda Midifti. When I was standing in the presence of Rav Yehuda, Chazai saw Rav Yehuda Tsoa. And Rav Yehuda, when he saw the Tsoa, Amali, he says to me, Ayen, take a look at the Tsoa. It's time for a Kriyat Shema, Ikarma Paneo Ilo. Does it have a krimas panim, some sort of outer covering, a coating? And that would mean that it's already dry and you're allowed to read Kriyat Shema. Ika de'amri, according to another version, Hachi Amalei, this is what Rabbi Yehuda said to Ravina, Ayin im miflai afluye. Check it out and see if it has cracks in it. If it has cracks in it, then you're allowed to read Kriyat Shema Kenegda, which would mean this is sheer of stokim that im golala nefreches. It's reflective of what we saw earlier called golala nefreches, and that means it's totally, totally dry. Mai hafi Allah. What's the final halacha in with regard to this din? The Gemara is now asking about meira glayim and not with regard to tsoa. Itmar. This was the final conclusion. Tsoa yevesha kecheres. This part of the Itmar is not relevant according to Rashi. In fact, some say that Rashi didn't even have the gears, because this goes back to Tsoa. My Havilah, according to Rashi, is going to be answered in a few lines when we get to Meir Aglayim. So Tsoa Kecheres Amemar Omar Asura Mar Zuch Omar Muteres. So as far as the status of Tsoa, if it's dry like Cheres, then according to Amemar, it still remains Asura. We have to go beyond that to Golala. And Marzucha says Muteres. Omar Rava Hilchasa Tzoa Kecheres Asura. Fine. He's paskening Rava Lechumra like a Meimar. Umeira Glayim is Kolzmach Matpichin. As long as there's some wetness and you touch it, you'd get your hands wet, then it's Asur. And that's again an Isur Derabbanon. She'eno matpichin muto likros kenegdon. Meisve, the Gemara asks a kasha on Rava Meirag Layim. It says in the Brisa called Zman shematpichin asurin nivlu o yavshu mutarin. And the only time that it's mutter is when the urine gets absorbed into the ground, or alternatively, it dries up on the stones in the sun. You know, the solar energy will dry up the urine. Is my. What is the meaning of the brisa? Alav, shouldn't we assume nivlu dumya diyavshu, right? The brisa has nivlu together in one breath with yavshu. Is my yavshu, in the case where it dries up because of the sun, is ein rishumam nikar. You can't see any leftover, any vestige whatsoever, and any memory of the urine. Is that it's yavshu legamri. Is af nivlu, even when it was absorbed in the karka, it means ein rishumam nikar. And therefore it's not enough that it's not matpichin. You have to go that extra mile, that extra stage of ein rishumam nikar. Or rishumam nikar also, afagav di eino matpichin. So this brisa is a kasha on Rav. And Rav turns back to the makshid, he says, l'taymech, and according to you, that you want to be medayik for the brisa, that as long as it's rishumam nikar, it's also likros, eima resha, what are you going to do with the resha of the brisa? The resha of the brisa says that Meir Aglaim calls much matpichin asurin, implying that only when it's matpichin is asur, ha rishumam nikar shari, if it's ain't matpichin, even though it's rishumam nikar, it's mutar. Elas, the Gemara says, may ha. We can derive some sort of conclusion from, I mean, we cannot derive any conclusion from this brisa. Is lekel mishmim, we know we don't have a clear-cut proof, because the brisa starts by saying that Meir Aglaim is only a problem called smachimat pichin, and then the brisa seems to assume that to solve the problem of Meir Aglaim you need yavshu and nivlu, which means ein rishumam nikar. So we're really in a stira here with regard to this brisa, and therefore the Gemara wants to suggest lema kitanoi, that perhaps this issue really depends upon a machlokes tanoim. And what's the machlokes tanoim? We have the following brisa, kli shenishpichu mimenu meraglayim. So this is a utensil that is designated exclusively for meraglayim, and now he empties it of meraglayim. Is the brisa says, nevertheless, even though there's no urine in the kli, since it's miyuchad, it's designated for that, also likros kriyat shma kenegdo. The kli itself has the status of meraglayim. Okay then? And that's an interesting principle. If it's miyuchad meraglayim, the same thing will apply, Rashi says, to miyuchad litsoa, then we don't read kriyat shma dvarim shekedusha is completely out. Meraglaim atzmon shenishpachu, if let's say there was meraglaim not in that kli, and it poured off onto the ground, nivlu ba'aretz, if it got swallowed up, absorbed by the ground, mutter, lo nivlu aser. So according to Tanakam, it all depends upon nivlu. And Rabbi Yossi Omer calls mancha matpichin, it all depends upon whether or not it's wet. Only if it's wet is there an iser to read kriyat shma. My nivlu, let's go back to the Tanakama. My nivlu, my lo nivlu, dekamer Tanakama. What did he mean to say nivlu? That it's only mutter if it's nivlu. Ilema nivlu dein matpichin, velo nivlu de matpichin. If you're going to tell me that it all depends upon whether it's wet or it's not, the asa, Rabbi Yossi, lemeimer. Then Rabbi Yossi comes along and he says in the Sefer, kolz mach matpichin hu di asa. Harishuma nikar shari. Is Hainu Tanakama. They're both saying the exact same thing, that everything depends upon Matpichin. And Rishuma Nikar, in a case of Ein Matpichin, is totally irrelevant. It's still Mutar. That's exactly what the Tanakama holds. And then Rav Yossi is just repeating the Tanakama. Ella, but rather we have no choice but to interpret the Tanakama that Nivlu means Ein Rishuma Nikar, and lo nivlu means rishumam nikar. So it's not enough that it's ein matpichin. You need ein rishumam nikar. We also Rabbi Yosef Lemeimer. No, he wants to be cholik. He wants to say that it all depends on matpichin. Kol zvach matpichin. If it's wet, then it's aser. But if it's ein matpichin, even though it's rishumam nikar, you can still see some vestige in the ground of the meraglaim. Shari, it's already mutter. And he's disagreeing with the Tanakhama, who says it's us. So we see that the issue of meraglayim, of ein matpichin, but it's rishumam nikar, is machlokes tanoim. The Gemara says, lo, The Gemara rejects it. The Kuli Alma, everybody agrees, calls Machmat Pichanu the Asur. And Ha Rishum of Nika Shari. That even though there's some vestige, but it's dry, the urine is dried up, it's mutter. And here we'll finish up the Gemara on the top of Daf Chafei Amid Beis. Hacha b'tofeach amenas lat piach ika beinayu. The machlokes in Meir Aglaim here in this price is about tofeach amenas lat piach, which means the following. Here's the machlokes. The Tanakama holds that if it's tofeach amenas lat piach, that means if one person touches the Meir Aglaim and he gets his hand wet, so wet that he can wet something else, that's called tofeach al menas lat piach. That's how wet it is. Then you're not allowed to read kriyat shma kenegdam, and that's when it means lo nivlu osur. Lo nivlu means that it still has the shear of tofeach al menas lat piach. And when it says nivlu mutar, it means it doesn't have tofeach al menas lat piach. So if one person gets his hand wet, he cannot wet somebody else. And then at that point, it's mutar likos kenegdam. That's according to Tanakama. Rabbi Yossi says calls machmat pichin. He comes to add the following, that as long as it's matpichin, even if it's tofech shalom menas lat piach, he's being machmir and saying that if it gets your hand wet, even though it's not wet enough to wet something else, then you're not allowed to read kriyat shma kenegdo, and he's being machmir above and beyond the Tanakam. Now exactly how we paskin, the Rosh paskins that Meir Aglaim, as long as it's matpichin, which means tofeach al menas lat piach, it's osur. And that's the kula of the Tanakama. And we'll have to see exactly whether or not we paskin like the Rosh, but that certainly is the sheet of the Rosh, that we paskin the kula like the Tanakama. Okay, then we'll stop here.